Today's I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek is brought to you by Quip, the toothbrush that brushes your teeth for you. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/StarTrek right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/StarTrek, spelled GETQUIP.com/StarTrek, spelled STARTREK.
In every revolution, there's one man with a vision. That's from what episode, Kim? Mirror, mirror.
Yes, mirror, mirror.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
The carving is up like a roast.
Welcome, friends, to the 100th episode of I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. What you're about to hear is a menagerie of friends. I tried to gather as many people as I could from previous podcasts. I only got two, my son and Abed, besides Kim and Jason. I tried to gather a profundity of special guest stars. I got one, Carl Held. He showed up, but he definitely held his own, which he'll probably use when he does his stand-up comedy show. So it's a bit of a mishmash. It's a bit of a menagerie of madness. But you should expect no less, right? I went through in this podcast, and I asked everyone around the table if I should keep on doing this. And, you know, the one thing that I forgot to do, and I'm post-dating it right now by putting it in front, is to thank you, the listeners. You guys have been on this voyage with me for 100 episodes. Now, there's about a 30% chance that I would make these podcasts without anyone listening, because that's just what I needed to do at the time. But I kept going because of you guys. Because you shout out into space, and in space, no one can hear you. But in podcast, oh my God, this is terrible. In podcasts, I guess they can. All right, so you know what I'm saying, right? Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking an hour or so out of your week or every other week to check in on the madness that we're doing and have a little bit of fun with us. Maybe we'll do another 100 more. Maybe we'll do something different. I don't know. But whatever I decide to do, I will forever be grateful for the fact that you decided to spend a little bit of time with me and my goofball friends. Speaking of which, here's the 100th. Here's the 100th episode.
And
we did.
We'll tell you.
Well, yeah, I'll hear about it.
Yeah, all right.
So, okay. Quite a garden.
It is quite a garden, and it's quite a podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. My name is Mike McCafferty, and you are listening to the 100th episode of I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. Full cast is assembled here. I am joined by
Kierna McCafferty, the younger son of Mike McCafferty, not son.
You're not the younger son.
The older son of Mike McCafferty.
This is already going off the rails.
We're already off to a great start.
So my son, one of my sons, Kieran, is here.
Yes.
And then we also have a late edition of
Jason McCarris. I'm here under duress. I'm being held against my will.
House arrest.
I'm just kidding. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, is it duressed or duress?
Duress.
Okay.
There's no T in there.
No, there's no T.
I didn't clear that up. That's years I thought it was.
Right, how long you been in this country?
I was born here.
The person, you don't know duress from duress?
I don't.
The person who does not know how to spell duress is?
Is?
Oh, Abed Gaith.
Abed Gaith, yes. Who is in our second episode.
Right,
ever,
when you called me
and
I was throwing garbage away.
I don't care about that, but I do care about that.
That's fantastic.
We talked about Daredevil.
Did we talk about Daredevil?
We were both watching it.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about Daredevil, but we talked about you being, we talked to you, you're my second person, the second podcast, I think first person I ever talked to.
First guest.
Oh, first guest, wow.
Yeah.
Quite an honor.
And then I have, to my left,
Kim Miller, the doctor.
The doctor, Kim Miller, the doctor. She's been on the most podcast. And then we have a very special guest here today, returning returning from the Archons, returning from a long time ago. I think we talked about 20 months ago, Carl. The wonderful Carl Held here.
Yeah.
Well, you've had him on before.
Yeah.
Via phone, though, right?
I'm the one with the raspy voice.
That's Jason when he goes to sleep.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
No, you got to expect this crappy, you know, at 87. You know,
87, Carl.
And I say, you look great.
Yeah, you look great. Yeah. Yeah.
Who looks older, me or Carl?
Wow. You're putting me on the spot there, right? You kind of look like a young Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah,
I was just thinking, you know, someone talked to me about is it Jane Fonda the other day. You know, she's 80 and she looks so terrific. They asked me what I thought of her looks, and I know she's had a little work done, and she appears to me to look like a very, very old 13.
Oh my!
It's quite possible.
Well, it's weird because we have her here as well. So.
Welcome, Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda, never.
Excuse, please. I must be leaving. Who are you?
Should I tell the music off?
Oh gosh,
yes, we don't mind.
Yeah, I'll go do that.
I think it's actually back there. So.
What could possibly go wrong?
This
right podcast
now
is brought to you by Rock FM.
Any one of a number of things.
So we are, to celebrate this, we are celebrating 100th episode by, we're in the Lake House, which is very historic for Star Trek in no way. It's kind of a cavernous restaurant made of brick. It's like an oven.
It's like a
giant pizza oven, but it is right next to, and I hope this music is okay by you listening, it is right next to the Japanese Gardens, which is where we were just at. Have you been to the Japanese Gardens, Carl?
No. Is there a restaurant there?
No. The Japanese Gardens. Thank you.
No, I haven't.
So the Japanese Gardens are a water treatment facility. It is the Daniel C. Tillman Water Treatment Facility. It's right across the street over there, here in Van Nuys. And we went there, myself, Kiernan, the doctor, and Abed, because they have filmed many, many... I don't know where Abed is. He just sort of disappeared.
He was going to talk about the music.
The music's off, but he's still gone. Yeah. All right.
He'll come back in a half hour.
That's right. But we went there because I wanted to go to a location that was of some degree of import for this episode, and they filmed a bunch of stuff at this water treatment plant because they have this sort of Japanese garden. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and then on the other side of this wall is waste treatment. It's amazing. There's like these tanks and tanks of fecal material being processed into drinking water.
Well, that was my favorite part of the
gray
thing.
Water.
Gray water. And but they filmed Next Generation.
I was going to ask which episodes of which shows.
They filmed Next Generation, Justice, and
season one.
And then season one, they filmed The First Duty, where Wesley gets expunged from Starfleet. Kind of they use Starfleet Command there a lot. That's where Starfleet Command was. So they filmed that there.
Was that one with Tom Paris was one of his idiot friends?
Yeah, except they changed his name because it was a
right.
It was a legal thing. If that character kept on going, then that writer for Voyager would get paid for every single episode.
Oh man!
Yeah,
for them.
I know. Yeah, when you write a character, that character like goes on. So they just said, well, we could pay him forever, or we could just change this guy's name.
Pay him forever.
Give him the same backstory. So
we could give him the best life ever.
Yeah.
Or we could just take away his livelihood.
This is Hollywood, so that's what they did. So, so we saw that. They also had Deep Space Nine episodes, Paradise Lost, and Homefront, where a guy turns into a bird and flies away.
I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah. And then also Voyager with Ray Walston as Boothby. Now, did you ever work with Ray Walston?
No, I missed him.
He's Pappy, right? From Popeye?
What's that?
Pappy, Ray Walston.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
Oh, he was my favorite Martian.
Yeah, he was my favorite Martian, yes, in the 50s. So he played Boothby, the gardener there. So
he was Boothby.
He was Boothby, yeah. My favorite Martian.
Oh, weird. I don't remember that.
Yeah. And he was great. So we actually went there. We all walked around.
We talked to Boothby.
Ray Walston's still there. Yeah,
he loves his job. He never left.
He never left. He's a plant trainer.
Sat in Boothby.
You've been to Vasquez Rocks.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Isn't that fabulous looking?
Yeah. So great. Yeah. So
that was a great episode there too.
Well, many have been shot there.
Yeah. The Gorn episode, right?
The Gorn episode. Shortly was there. Some Next Generation episodes.
Kieran just got a hamburger.
He
wanted to make sure it wasn't poisoned, so
it looks like
an Abed. Let Abed have a bite first.
Well, yeah, I'll be the poison. Like,
if
tester.
You die, it's fine. He's got a life to live.
Why is the table tipping over his direction?
It is such a gigantic.
That's a gigantic.
I don't know how this happened.
Did you even order
you
that?
Order?
No. The guy just brought it over. Yeah, he looks like a burger.
It was an accident burger.
It's like a crazy chef who's trying out a new recipe. And he's like, that's crowd.
You've got to try this.
He's been waiting for this crowd to experiment.
It's like a Star Trek episode. You think of something, and then the food appears. So the Japanese Gardens was great. Kim and I took a picture right where Patrick Stewart and Ray Walston.
Well, I took the picture. You guys took the picture. Yeah.
Patrick Stewart and I are buddies.
Really?
We were at the Royal Shakespeare Company together in London.
Really?
With Mia Farrow and Bob Hoskins.
Cool. Oh my God! Wow. Two amazing actors. I'm a big fan of the both of them. Oh,
he mentioned the three, but sure. Yeah.
I mean, of course I'm a fan.
Bob Hoskins too.
That's a given that I'm a fan of Patrick Stewart. How dare you? I didn't have to say that.
What was it like working with Patrick Stewart?
Well, we're talking about 1976 here.
Really?
One, he was a lot younger.
Yeah. He was still bald, though, right?
What do you mean, still bald? We're talking retro. He was bald then.
Yeah,
he's still bald now.
Yeah. Okay.
You and your spelling and your tinsel. And you say you were born in this country.
I try to go back in time.
I have to give you credit because you figured out Abed a lot quicker than the rest of us.
You did. He sussed me out at the bar. You knew exactly what to do.
You're ahead of the curve already. You figured it out. Yeah.
We
put one bad guess in.
You don't say things like between you and I, do you?
No, I've never said that. I mean, I won't say it now to just justify it.
I only said it, I go, yuck, when I hear that.
Oh, no, I'm not one of those guys. Okay. Yeah.
He gave it to my wife and I.
No, I'm not, I'm the opposite. I would never, no.
Okay.
All right, meanwhile, Patrick Stewart.
Well, you were talking about Patrick Stewart and
yes,
I.
Yes, I was. I wanted to hear about that, yeah.
At Royal Shakespeare?
About Patrick Stewart and I. You didn't get it.
Oh, yes.
He made a
me,
joke.
You moron.
You called him. My God.
This is already my favorite episode.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Singed by Carl Hill.
I'm sorry, guys. And, the grammar police here.
Oh, no, please. Yeah, we need something. Okay. Totalitarian state.
I need to be schooled on grammar myself. I have to admit, I'm not as up as right. other people. Even though I'm a writer.
Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
Can you summarize your feelings about Patrick Stewart? Grammatically correct. Correctly, I don't know.
Well, which language do you want?
Which language? Well, I mean, which one do you have?
The Royal Shakespeare language.
That's funny. I'm working on some Shakespeare now. Patrick is wonderful to work with. Very professional, friendly, easy to get on with. Did his homework, knew his line. We did The Iceman Cometh. And you have paragraphs and pages sometimes of dialogue that you got to belt out. Mm-hmm. He knew all his stuff.
Wow.
He made no trouble for anybody.
This is in 1976?
Yeah.
But he's like, at the time, he's only doing Shakespeare. He's not even...
Well, at the Shakespeare Company, we were doing other plays. They do only Shakespeare up north at Shakespeare Theater at Stratford, One Haven. But in London, they do various plays. We did The Devil's Disciple. We did a Russian play. Various things.
What Shakespeare plays did you do with Patrick Stewart?
I didn't do any Shakespeare with them. I've done Shakespeare elsewhere.
Oh, okay. But when you were acting with Patrick Stewart, or
no, we did. I say two American plays: Devil's Disciple, Iceman Cometh.
Yeah.
And something by Maxim Gorky. Called the Zekoffs.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if Patrick was in that or not. But we had another great actor over there, John. He did a lot of stuff for Disney. John Wood.
When you were acting with Patrick Stewart, were you kind of like, oh, this guy's going to be, he's going to go on to great things?
No. The one guy that I thought at the time would be Bob Hoskins, because my wife and I discovered him on stage and thought, wow, this guy is terrific.
Yeah, you know,
he was a natural.
Yeah, and we should remind the audience that your wife was Sarah Marshall.
Sarah Marshall, yes, she was in an episode called The Deadly Years.
Yes.
She was the ex-girlfriend of Kirk.
Jim Kirk, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because she and Shatner were in a play on Broadway where they went out on the road and he had a thing with her.
That's right, yeah.
But I was the understudy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I took over.
In the play
for the next 56 years.
Yeah. And Shatner's still angry about that.
Well, I have to say, when I did the episode with him, he was, I would say, strange cordial.
Did you steal her away?
Yeah. Wow, what a great description.
Yeah.
Still upset?
I think he's still doing that, like the strange
cordial. About, he's doing that about life, you know. Yeah. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Do you ever see him? Have you ever seen him in like conventions or anything like that? Do you ever like, hey, Bill, it's me, and he's like,
I saw social event, and I was with my wife, and he came toward us, and he said, "Hello, Sarah." Hello, Carl.
Oh, that's nice.
And as he went by, I said, "Hello, Bill."
We will not report which gesture he actually made.
But it comes from Sicily somewhere, I believe. It originated
really Sicilian, yeah.
It started with the upper arm. And
those Canadians.
Wow. No, well, all right, so let's... This is about Star Trek, this gathering of 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Is we're talking about Star Trek, we're talking about my journey... And your journey, everyone here.
But mostly your journey.
But mostly my journey. So, Carl, I don't remember when we talked. It was probably like episode like 20 or something like that. And yours was episode 2, and I don't know when I brought in Jason.
I was also on a Callie episode.
Yeah, you're with Callie, who could not be here today, so forget her. but, Jason, do you remember what the first episode you were in?
I don't. I don't remember what that was. It was the beginning of my Star Trek.
Wasn't it like 3 or 4?
It was early, but yeah.
Was it early?
You might have been on one. You might have been on one.
No, I don't think it was the first. No, the first one was by yourself.
The first one was just you by yourself.
He's our Star Trek naysayer.
Yes. So yeah, it's because Jason is not a Star Trek guy. So yeah. I mean, sort of like you, Carl. I mean, you're on Star Trek, but you're not Star Trek.
Although I've come a long way in the last couple of years. I've seen a lot of the original series episodes.
Wait, is this a bit? Because I feel like you like
it's Star Trek. Half bit. I was never a fan of Star Trek ever until you know starting
you met
this.
You met that idiot over there.
It's always been a divide.
Idiot savant.
Between Mike, Kim, and our friend Matt, who we and myself have known each other for, God, 20-odd years something. And they've always been huge Star Trek fans, and I was never a Star Trek fan. So there's always been this missing component when we're hanging out of them all knowing something, having the inside joke, and I don't understand what they're talking about.
I'm on their side.
So, it's been a little bit of a journey to understanding now the inside jokes and all these things I've heard for 20 years.
I just
years.
Assumed you were always a fan.
No,
he has that way about him.
We've been friends about Star Wars. He's a big Star Wars guy. The four of us were always friends on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes,
big fans of that. But Star Trek was always his blind spot.
Yeah.
So this, if nothing else, got Jason to watch Star Trek episodes.
This is true.
So yeah,
this podcast really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Jason, would you watch some? And he's like, sure. So he started diving into.
Because I told you why I got into Star Trek. Right?
Because of me.
No. Oh. Did I ever tell you why?
It's always the answer.
I ever tell you?
No, is it a short story?
It is short.
Okay.
Because I was into Star Wars, and then my mom watched Star Trek, and I didn't want to watch Star Trek.
Okay.
So I was forced. It was like, you know, by gunpoint.
Oh.
You have to
this. Your mom was a fan.
Huge fan.
Wow.
Like, since the original show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was forced to watch Next Generation, and then, like, I think about a couple years it took to set in, where I was like, obsessed. I became like, oh, it's actually really good. Because at first I thought, like, why aren't they fighting more? Why aren't they, like, starships shooting each other?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, too much talking, you know? And then I realized, like, oh, Data, Worf, great characters, and then, you know, the rest is history.
But that's the beauty of Star Trek, isn't it?
The characters.
Isn't that why we're all here? Because of talking.
Kieran, you were so close.
So close.
It was like a troll
ideas.
Yes, he was... I could turn off the podcast right there. Like, isn't that why we're all here? Because of, and that's all the time we have.
Because like the Kirk speech. And,
no, that's not why we're here. Well, it is about ideas. You're right.
It was about ideas and philosophies, and you know, taking a stand on subjects.
Yes. Yeah. And,
I mean, Twilight Zone did as well.
Yeah. Sure.
That's but what Star Trek did it with more. Well, it was color. You know, a lot of Twilight Zone was black and white.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was a half hour. This was an hour, and had more characters. So you could identify with the various people.
Yeah.
They got guest stars in all the time.
Yep. It was wonderful. I think that stuff. There's a call for me. I hear a phone.
Do you want to get that?
Yeah, I'll get that.
Oh my God, it's William Shatner.
It's data. It's the data call from. Well,
yeah, I know. It's somewhere else that damn ringing. So my son is the one of the latest people to get involved in Star Trek. Kiernan was watching. He did not. I tried to get him watching Star Trek. Didn't really take to it. But then we started watching The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane
and Brendan Braga, right?
Were you okay with Star Wars?
Well, it's you know, he didn't like Star Wars. It was he's
well, not this with Star Wars, the original. Alec Guinness.
Right? No, yes, Alec Guinness. Yeah,
we had lunch together, Alex and I, two of us.
Oh wow!
What? In London, we were at Pinewood Studios filming.
Wait, you and Alec Guinness, and who else?
Nobody.
Oh, you and Alec Guinness. Sorry, continue. I didn't mean to. I slowed the train down.
I need two more actors to disrespect it in that sentence.
To really get into the story, I need another actor.
If I write my memoirs ever, I'm going to start at the first three pages with a list of names of people I can draw. Names I can draw.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I cannot believe what's happened in my life. All the people I've worked with, I've rubbed elbows with. I mean, it's just, it blows my mind.
Yeah. I know, yeah, I'm the new addition to that.
And Alec Guinness, I mean, he's playing Hitler in something called The Last 10 Days. And I'm just playing, you know, one of the German soldiers there or something. This is in London. Well, it wasn't a great picture or anything. I don't think it released here. But anyway, he comes to lunch break and he says, Carl, yes? He said, sit down here as I was going by. I said, oh, okay. And we started talking. And we had something in common in the sense that we had a friend that we both knew. A guy who did hair in London, did all the wigs. He did all of Alex's wigs.
Whoa.
And all the hair. It was Stanley Hall or something. Big name.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so we had that. And then, of course, my father-in-law, this is Sarah's father. Both her parents have stars on the boulevard. So he, of course, growing up in England, had seen my father-in-law and mother-in-law on the British stage, you know, way back in the 30s and in the early late 20s. So we could talk about all of that stuff. And then I could ask him about all those wonderful movies he made, The Lavender Hill Mob.
Oh, I love that. And Lady Killers.
And the Lady Killers, yeah. All of those things. And, you know,
you know, Lavender Hill Mob is one of the unknown roles he's done, but is like one of his finest performances. Oh, like when they're coming down the stairs with that Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yeah, the Eiffel Tower. But anyway, there he was. And then he goes on after all those wonderful old English films, becomes a huge star in science fiction.
Yeah.
American International.
And he
science
didn't even
fiction.
Enjoy it.
He hated it.
Yeah, he hated it.
Yeah. Hated it.
That,
he hated
that famous letter Wars, he yeah. wrote his friend where he said this is going to be a disaster.
But it wasn't.
Well, it wasn't, but he hated it.
No, he wrote a letter. After, it's famous to his friend saying how disastrous the movie is going to be.
Well, people say that a lot about science fiction, you know, ahead of time.
This is true. This is true, yeah.
There's a story about it's turned into I just want to talk about Star Wars. I love this. There's
so a story about...
we have to bring it back. But the story about Guinness that I'd heard was that, you know, when little kids would come up to him and ask him for an autograph, because they saw Obi-Wan Kenobi, that he would say, I'll give it to you, but you have to promise never to watch the movie again. Because they would watch it over and over and over again, and then he was just like, this is, you know, kind of a sickness or something. You need to watch other films, you know, not just to be hooked on this one thing.
Wow.
Is that what he said to you, Jason?
Yes, and that's why I am the way I am.
That's why he likes Star Wars more than Star Trek.
But look, Star Trek, you know, when it faded out, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then what, 2 years later? Bang! Revival, and it becomes the biggest hit of all time. Yeah, that's true.
When you went into audition for it, what were you thinking?
I had
have to audition?
I hadn't watched the show. I found out I was going to get an audition. So I watched an episode before, and I said, oh, okay, well, you know, Star Trek, you know, what, you know. I'll go in, and this is the part. Okay. And I went in, and I was all suit, I was just pretty fancy or something. And I had been shaving. It was a little bit like they shaved, mm-hmm. you know, just from the angle.
The little points, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sideburn point.
It was all a mistake. Oh. And I couldn't see in the mirror.
Oh, no, like, great.
So they pointed that out at the interview. He goes, oh, you don't even have to shave. You know, change.
Oh, funny.
but Gene was I was telling Abed, Gene was wonderful. He was no trouble. He'd see me evidently in Perry Mason's or some other things that I had done. And I did a few things that were really pretty good, you know. That got me on the map. And he said, okay, the casting people, everybody else, well, gentlemen, I like what I see. What about you? Any objections? No, no.
Wow.
Casting people. Right. Thank you. I got up and walked out.
What?
And
wow. You said something fascinating before we recorded. You were in that audition for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
That's all it was.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's all it was.
And he was like, "Oh, it's sold."
I didn't even have to. I don't even think I had a picture with me.
Wow.
I mean, those were the days because we had the book and the picture was there, and you know, and they didn't do Polaroids and they didn't put you on camera,
right?
And all of that stuff. But they looked at your credits and or they'd seen you on television.
Yeah. Wow.
And well, I've heard it. They've heard the name, and so there you are.
Did you even have to? Read
no, I didn't have to read a bloody thing.
They just
thing.
Talk to you and
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah, and I walked away.
I want to go back in time and audition.
Yeah. Well, it was a smaller community.
Evidently, I had a little reputation inside the business because I was getting paid good money for doing little stuff, and I was like one of the highest paid unknowns in Hollywood. I hadn't done my my pilot yet, you know, the one for Warner. Oh, no, I had.
Oh, so
that's
they knew.
Right, yeah. I had done the pilot because Warner signed me to a contract.
Wow.
After they saw
something. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, ooh, you're a get. You're a fine.
Yeah.
What was that pilot?
It was called Ready for the People. It was about Kings County in Brooklyn with that wonderful actor from the Mercury Theater, the red hair with Orson Welles.
Joseph Cotton.
No, not Joseph. No, Joe. No.
Oh, is it the radio guy?
Yeah. And it was
I can't remember his name.
Actor.
He's in Citizen Kane as the radio. Yeah. I know he's talking about.
It was like Sloan, Everett Sloan.
Everett Sloan, yeah.
Everett Sloan, red hair.
Oh, man. Great.
And
great.
The third guy was in Psycho. He played a psychiatrist at the end of the movie. His name slips my mind at the moment. But anyway, it was a great pilot. All set to go. Build the sets. Time slot. We have sponsors. We start filming on Monday. I put my kid brother through college. I paid off the mortgage of my parents' home.
Wow.
I've done this. I've done that. 5 o'clock, I get a call from my agent. It's canceled.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My God.
What? Why? I don't know. 9 years later, I find out in England.
What?
It's Me Too X kind of thing.
Oh,
man.
Up way at the top.
Oh,
and because
wow.
of that, not just mine, but they pulled about 4 or 5 other series off the air.
Wow.
Off ABC.
My God.
Wow.
And it was that because the guy was... It was the only way he could fire a relative of his by dissolving the television department.
Jeez.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That way there was no work for him to do. So, well, you have to go.
Wow.
Rather than be publicly, you know, say, oh, you fired your son.
Well, so they did that back then. They had to be at, like, hush-hush.
Kill the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, Carl, like, if we play this game, because, like, if you had taken this job, you would not have done Star Trek.
Oh, exactly. Oh, so, you know, I would have, oh, sure.
Now, like, let's say that runs 2 or 3 years. Like, let's just, like, you know, average season. Would you have taken that 2 or 3 years of Ready for the People or one episode of Star Trek? I don't have an opinion on this.
at the time, it was simple economics.
Sure, yes.
And that's I would have not thought beyond that.
Yeah.
And I would have had a recurring role that I could work on and perfect. And work on just the way you do in the theater, you really get inside somebody and start to develop them.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, whatever anyone wants to say about any characters on the show, Star Trek, all those guys and all those people there, because they were regulars, did their homework, and Shatner was excellent as Kirk. I mean, he knew who Kirk was, he knew what his attitudes were. You could throw him in any situation, and he would be Kirk. He knew that. I mean, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
But let's not talk about Kirk. But
for me, I would have had the same opportunity to work on my thing, just the same way as if you're trying to do Hamlet.
But 2018 now. I'm saying 2018 now. Like,
If you 2018,
like, so now, here we are, 2018, talking to you in a prestigious golf course restaurant.
Which I own, incidentally.
Wow. Well, yeah, why not?
I was just on the 9, and I can't believe you. You did a great job on that. That's good.
So would you, like, now, has Star Trek taken you to places, and have you done things that you might not have had? I'm just asking, like, would you have traded still? Or do you say, like, Star Trek has been beneficial to me in other ways throughout my career, or not?
It's been an ego boost all along the way because of the fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's as simple as that.
Sure.
The show carried me with it into terms of being liked and admired and sought out.
Well, people are still talking about it all these years later.
Well, I told him earlier, you're the first person I've ever met who's been on the original series, and that's a big deal for you.
This is,
yeah, that's like huge. Yeah,
52 years later, well, we are excited to talk to you. So, right.
I mean, I never would have gotten to Las Vegas.
Okay.
I went for the 50th anniversary.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that my pictures were worth anything.
There you go.
Ta-da! However, I'm not going back to Las Vegas again.
You're good. You don't need to go back.
I'll go to any other, you know.
Well, they took out that Star Trek thing, so.
The Star Trek hotel's gone. Now, I did get you back in touch with Lev Mailer, correct? Lev?
Mailer, yeah. I got his number.
Did you ever talk to him?
We haven't been in touch for a while, though.
Because I thought you guys weren't talking to each other. Like, the Red Hour guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Lev is a great guy.
Because like at the end of that podcast, I think I talked to you and I talked to Lev, and then, like, you guys were like, I want to talk to each other. And you guys never talked?
We did.
Oh, you did?
We got in touch.
And how was that?
Wherever he is, I think it's Minnesota.
He's in Minnesota. He's got an acting program.
Yeah. So I remember that. Listen to my age to remember. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I tell you, because where I live, everybody wears a name tag.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I live in it's a independent living for retired people.
Uh-huh.
I call it the Glendale Home for the Ancient and Bewildered. I mean, you know, Trump came through there on his campaign, and he asked some lady, he said, "You know who I am?" And she said, "Well, no, but if you ask one of the managers, they should be able to tell you."
That's great. That's really funny.
So we have that kind of thing going on there. So when I say that I'm happy, I can remember Lev Mailer from Minnesota.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean it. You know, but I'm still strong. I mean, but the mind, though.
Oh, yeah.
But the combination is terrible, because last week I couldn't remember where I left my piano.
Oh, wow. Piano's big.
Piano's big.
But then I remember I left it in my canoe.
Oh.
a piano fits in a canoe?
Well, I was there serenading this old lady. You know.
Now we're going into vaudeville now. Okay.
You think old guys like
double
me?
Act here.
Old guys like me are just interested in the young bimbos. I only want to with an old bimbo.
Wow, well, Carl, you are just.
No, I mean, because listen, if I tell her that I've got a real doozy, she'll know I'm talking about my antique car.
This is like your best guess so far.
Yeah, I know.
I have to say.
Maybe he's got a tight five. Yeah.
We might get me too'd here. I'm not sure.
And not my antique organ.
All right. There we go.
Kieran, you missed some gold there.
Yeah.
For those of you not seeing the visual, Kieran did leave for a second.
Kieran left and...
Anyway, the wine of it is... You're going to say, Star Trek, what would I do today?
Well, would you have traded? Having your own show or doing that one episode of Star Trek?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Good job, Daddy.
All right, that's our show.
I got to tell you, the truth is, you know, it's a real ego feeder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember getting recognized in that was Falcon Crest. But that's all right. Yeah, I had 3 years on Falcon Crest. It was nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't up there. If I had my own show, I would have had a completely different life. I wouldn't have been able to do all the things that I do, which are regular things.
Yeah.
I go to the supermarket, drive here, talk with a guy who's driving a garbage truck, or get gas here in Chatham.
No, I have the same story as him, but continue.
You know what I mean?
No, because I was almost on an NBC sitcom.
That's very right. True.
This is true. Yeah.
So my life would have been like he's saying.
I think that's
important. I think that's why we talked to you on the second episode. I was talking to you about, because Abed, he was almost on a show called Community on NBC, playing a character
called Abed.
His friend wrote the role for him.
I didn't get it.
And he didn't
auditioned.
Get it.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It was written for him.
I believe it. Yeah.
Actually, and an executive called me months later to tell me that I was the best choice, but that it was political.
Really?
Yeah, she said you just didn't have enough experience and they were afraid to go with you, but everyone loved you. I actually read with Joel McHale. They said Joel liked you a lot.
Sure.
And wanted you as, but it's like it was politics. It was blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So she called me to say like, listen, I really fought for you, but it was like not you didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Right.
She was trying to explain that my performance auditioning was great.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she was trying to tell me that like I am not a bad actor and I'm not a.
We always have a problem with that when there's an experience issue and they can't cast somebody because they don't have the experience.
Right.
What's gonna happen? Is the entire production gonna shut down? Because
I got upset because I was doing Charlie Day, who I was inspired by.
Okay.
And that's what they wanted.
Okay.
But then they shifted. Because of like the fact that I didn't have experience, they went with like someone.
So had you gotten the part, you would have been playing Charlie Day.
I would have been
you.
Nuts. I would have been more like Fred.
But you would have been doing Charlie Day.
Well,
doing
that was
you.
What the script was.
Yeah.
He was more manic and crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anyway, sorry. And
more manic and crazy than you.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, way more.
All right. I'm gonna wrestle this podcast. With
back
Kim,
to
Kim is she is my taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
And before we got sidetracked here, I was talking to Kiernan.
Yes.
And so Kiernan, you watched Orville, and then you got invested in, and then you're like, yeah, are there any Star Trek? Because he loved the mystery episodes. Kind of like the Archons episode where it's like, what's going on here? Why is this so strange? And he's like, Dad, are there any like that in Star Trek? I'm like, oh, there are, buddy. And so I start slowly feeding him the best mystery episodes. And then he's like, oh, there are a few more. And now, how many episodes have you watched until, we've talked about this before, like how many like of Next Generation have you watched?
Actually, I have a number. I think I watched 79.
You watched 79 of your Next Generation.
Wow.
Excellent. My favorite Star Trek, by the way.
Well, hold on up. I'm giving the floor to Kiernan here. All right. Are you looking it up, Kiernan?
Yeah, because I have a...
Well, now you're killing
him. He has a spreadsheet that he's pulling up.
Where are you trying to get? You showed him his episode, right?
I don't. Have you seen this one, Kieran? With Return of the Archons?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so all right. So I've watched 33% of Voyager.
Percentages.
40.9% of Next Generation. And 29.1% of Enterprise.
Wow, Enterprise got a high.
How many times have you seen The Aristocrats?
Oh. No, not at all. Yeah.
Wait, that comedian movie?
Yeah.
We're talking about Aristocats, right?
The Disney film.
I actually don't like that movie.
Kiernan, tell me why you like Star Trek. Why are you excited to be here right now? Besides that burger, which you...
well, the burger is a big influencer.
Okay.
I don't know. I really just like the message of, hope for the future. I like that a lot. And I like the good mystery episodes, and I like the change in the captains. And I just like the Federation and the what Gene Roddenberry wanted to do with... Star Trek.
All right.
Hope for the future, right there. That is it.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, because the present stinks.
Well,
yes.
Yes. It's kind of true.
I'm not into political jokes. No, because I've seen one too many of them get elected.
Oh, man. Oh, we're back.
Why aren't we doing this at Flappers?
Nixon jokes time.
Now let's shift over to Kim.
Okay.
My friend Kim. My friend. Kim Miller. The doctor.
34 years old.
My daughter's name, Kim.
Oh, nice.
Kim, what am I doing? Well, first of all, tell me about why you like Star Trek. Why are we here? Why are you here? Why are you here in this sweaty... are you sweating? I'm sweating.
It's a little
damp. It's a bit warm.
It's a little warm.
You didn't ask me why I'm here.
Well, we'll get to it. You're here for the guest of honor. I know that.
Yeah. I'm here for free wine.
Free wine, yes.
The open bar.
Keep that flowing.
Kim, why do you like Star Trek?
Oh, gosh.
In 11 words. In as many words as
you want. Get a haiku.
From the Japanese garden.
Racist.
Kim Miller will present a haiku.
Don't.
Fecal becomes water quickly. Traipsing through distant Trek.
How did you initially... My
only solace.
How did, Kim, how did you initially, you know, watch
my
Star Trek?
My oldest brother would watch it, and I would just piggyback on him. And I remember being terrified by the Baylock puppet at the end of the credits. And always just looking away. Started watching it more and more on my own and enjoying it more. And when Next Generation came out, enjoyed it even more. Kept rewatching the old episodes, the original episodes. I'm so excited when I saw you. I'm like, I know those eyes, Carl. You haven't changed. Like a good example, I just rewatched the Next Generation episode Clues again last night.
Woo!
It's a good one.
I don't remember what we did with the kids.
Kieran, what's Clues about?
Clues is about it. All right. So the plot summary of Clues is that.
The setup is great.
Spit up and swallow that hamburger. Okay.
So they wake up and they don't know why, what happened, and then...
They think they've been knocked out for 30 seconds. Data tells them you've only been unconscious 30 seconds.
I can take it from
here. Oh, that's a good one.
The purpose of explaining...
Oh, no, explain it.
Anyway. Oh, okay, all right. So they've been knocked out for 30 seconds, but they find out clues. Say that they weren't like a plant grew like in the lifespan of
72 hours.
No,
3 days. Or?
One day.
I don't know. I'm just trying to help you out here. All
right. So one day, and then they check like the cells and how much they've aged. They've checked the tampering for the clock, mm-hmm. and the Worf's broken wrist, and they find clues scattered everywhere. But then they realize what they really wanted was love.
Wow.
You are
the best summary of that episode.
I need to watch this episode.
Yeah, well, it is good.
Not like,
when you said they all wake up and they've been asleep, that's
wrong.
I've seen another version, but I don't think...
none of us have seen that. That's
anyway.
We all fell asleep and woke up a day later, and Kieran was still telling that story.
Coming back to Kim.
Cool characters.
If I may interject here for a moment, how did you and Mike discover your mutual love for Star Trek?
Probably tossed out some ridiculous quote in my record. Because
we all met doing theater in San Diego.
Yes.
And you guys had met before... I had met you guys.
No, I met you first.
Oh, is that right?
So we were in Secret Garden together. Because you guys were in Secret Garden together. And I knew you through Nick,
yes,
your ex-boyfriend. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No salt in that wound. But
it's all fine.
But I threw out a couple of Star Trek and then Simpsons quotes, and Kim knew both. And I was like, you are the perfect female.
Simpsons, man. That's huge.
But, like, imagine it's a girl in the late 90s who knows Star Trek and Simpsons.
Yeah. That's the combination.
I couldn't even process it. Like, you were like this, like a unicorn. You're like this ephemeral being of light and love and energy that existed in my life.
Pure energy.
But we started going down the rabbit hole of Trek. Our friend Matt Thompson, who wasn't here, he and I, we were big into Trek. We went to the Star Trek hotel together. But then the Doctor slowly started to come about and started to process.
It was a blob. And
she was a blob of protoplasm. And eventually she formed into what you see before you, what you hear before you today.
Founder.
This is a glass and a half of wine now, so
well,
turn your eyes away.
Yes, well on our way.
Go to your room.
I hope you Ubered.
Go to the 18th hole, quickly.
Kieran's driving home.
Maybe possible. All right, so this is, and Carl, you don't really, you've never watched that much Star Trek.
I never what?
How
dare you? Oh my God, Mike!
You said you don't. You're not into that much Star Trek because you said don't ask me about Star Trek.
Don't give me facts and figures and stuff.
Sure.
And what lot and which studio and date? And
episode number.
I wasn't on the back lot or the 40 acre.
Well, no, he of course watched Next Generation because he was Patrick Stewart's buddy.
I don't know.
No, I was jealous.
I do remember.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's great.
That sounds about right.
So you didn't
watch it. Why should I watch him?
Yeah. You were like, I could have done that. Jesus,
sure.
That's not
exactly.
That hard. Because he always went like,
no,
what are you doing?
I had a lot of friends that were on there. I think Patricia O'Neill was on it. But she lived in my building. And I said, I have this, like, say hello to Patrick. And got a big hello back,
great.
We'd go right through the years.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nice. Sweet.
But
he had no ego. No ego.
You,
never said,
you should hit him up. Nice. You should be like, Patrick, hey, it's me, it's Carl, let's hang out.
I could do it, I suppose.
Yeah. Would he be like, sure, like he would do it?
Possibly in the upcoming.
Well, I guess he would, sure.
Yeah, well.
Because he's got a new series. Like, they might be doing a new series on Star Trek, Patrick Stewart again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's what they've been saying.
The rumor.
Yeah. I asked him earlier about
but
it.
But I don't like
know.
To hit up people, for a job.
No, not just a job.
Just for
just,
friendship.
Just for friendship. And then you could
no,
bring
in
it.
No, in the back of my mind, it would be for a job.
Well, no, I was getting to that.
No, I can't deny that.
I was going to say you set it up just
can
a friendly
we do it
meeting.
For you? I mean,
yeah. And then you say, listen, I should be in this episode of whatever you're doing.
Is that how you do it?
That's how I do it.
Is it the whole Next Generation?
It usually works.
A friend of mine, it was a fraternity brother, it was a pledge, came in. I was the first of a certain religion that went into this fraternity.
Oh.
And I wasn't. I mean, I'd abandoned it. But because they were going to do this religious thing, and I said, I am such and such. And they said, we don't have any of those here. But, okay.
Oh, wow.
I got in. So the next one got in. And he's forever grateful. He became one of the big heads at Disney for years. I couldn't call him up and say, hey, pal. Because I've worked for Disney. I've done some good stuff over there. Like That Darn Cat.
That's right.
It's kind of like me and Harmon. I can't call him.
But I couldn't call him. Hi, Jim. Let's get together.
That'd be kind of weird.
I just didn't want to do it.
But can't you call up Patrick or whoever and say, hey, man, I see you all this time. Let's hang out. Let's just hang out. I get it. To me, I have friends who are in the business. We both have a friend named Dan Harmon who's very, very popular and successful right now. Although I don't hang out with him either. But Abed just said, he doesn't feel like he can call up him. Can't you just call up and be
I tried once, and then he, yelled at me.
Yeah.
Rob yelled at me. Dan laughed.
What were the words that you used?
I just said, can I be in, please, can I do a voice for this? And they were like, oh, you don't have any experience, is what they said.
Hey, that seems to be the common thread with you.
Oh, I know.
I know.
No, I mean, I don't want to go into me and my thing, but I just saying,
we pushed for you to be a voice in Hot Street, just so you know.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'll end up eventually on that show, right?
Right?
So anyway.
Right, head writer.
Right? Yeah. Mr. Head Writer? You just slip me in as a guy that goes, whoa, look out!
Yeah.
Do you guys know how old Patrick is at this point?
I don't know, how old is he? Is he, he's going to be 80 now, I think, or 79?
80,
or
yeah.
Well, he's in the fourth quarter. Okay, well then
okay.
Then I can talk to him.
Yeah.
Then I can talk to him because I don't want,
Carl, you've got nothing left to lose. Because when I talked to you, because I remember I talked to you, it's you're getting back into acting, and, he's 77. So you've got a couple years on him, but that's fine. But, why not?
Use that as an angle. Be like, I've got years on you, buddy.
So him and Ian McKellen hang out all the time, and they have so much fun.
I just saw his documentary.
I could invite him over to my place and say, here, you can look at what's going to happen to you.
Well, I mean,
they're all around. I don't want to judge those people until I've done at least a mile in their wheelchair, but, it's...
Carl, we got to get you to Flappers.
I know.
We got to get you to stand up place.
Yeah, he's killing it for me.
I know.
This is outstanding.
No, but you don't get the wrong idea about old age. It's really okay. There's two great consolations.
Well, I'm there now, so I get
it. Oh, yeah. Well, the one is it only happens once.
Oh, right.
And the other one is it doesn't last all that long.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can look forward to that.
Well, when I saw the Ian McKellen documentary, that's the first thing that blew my mind was how he said that, like, he thinks about death, like, constantly. You know what I mean? And, like, that was the most...
Who is it?
Ian McKellen. I saw a documentary about his life, yeah.
Oh, Ian.
And it was very fascinating when he said that. Because I thought, like, that living that way is very interesting. Cause
you can't avoid it where I live.
Well, yeah, and then when he takes roles, he thinks of that.
We live across the street from the hospital, and the ambulance is parked in our guest parking.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's convenient.
Not really, but it might as well. I mean, it's two, three times a month somebody goes out.
Oh, wow.
They come back sometimes.
Yeah.
But it happens all around there. You know, the memories go. And they, you can't, you know, when your eyes went, you know, you were doing that. It happens to everything. It happens to the hearing. I could not believe it. I'm minding my own business, and a lady at the next table said that, well, what I thought she said was one thing. What she actually said was that she said, I have acute angina. And I... so it was... I made a smart remark, you know. And then she said, you're a dirty old man. And I said, I don't know what she was talking about, you know. And so I said, no, I'm not dirty old man. I mean, I go to the beach, I see all you ladies in your bikinis and your thongs. I only look at the parts that are covered. Well, I'm not, you know, I don't go to the beach really because my face is old fashioned. Besides, it has a hole in the knee, you know, so it's...
Well, this is going
great.
Swimmingly.
This is great, guys. All right, so this is the...
Hey, I'll be right back.
It's not because of Abed. Abed's actually getting up. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I know.
Carl, you've co-opted this. You've destroyed this podcast. I can't believe it. You've ruined everything.
Or made it
well,
great.
Let me tell you about the lady who wouldn't leave me alone over there. She's about 94.
Oh, no.
You know, here I am. I'm 87. I mean, come on. You know, it's one thing I've spent, you know, part of my life going to bed with a grandmother, you know, and then a great-grandmother. I mean, you know, come on, guys. Now, this lady's hitting on me. She's at my table every day, you know, for breakfast, lunch, stuff. And I don't know what to say to her. She's very nice. Finally, I hit on it. She's banging on my door one day at 3 o'clock. I just didn't answer. So that night, sure enough, she's at my table sitting there. She says, you weren't home this afternoon. I said, oh, yes, I was. She said, well, I was banging on the door. You didn't answer. I said, I couldn't. She said, why not? I said, well, you didn't have any clothes on. I figured that would do it, you know. And so she said, what were you doing? I said, look, sex is nobody's business except the three people involved.
Oh, no.
She blanched, changed tables, and I went, yes! I got rid of her. Except the next day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she was banging on my door. She must have second thoughts.
Two other people?
I don't know.
Wow.
Kieran is
appreciative from the audience.
You got this. Is a multi-generational room here. It's going completely. We need to separate the saucer section here.
Yes.
All right. So let's
bring it back to Star Trek.
Let's bring it back to Star Trek. So here it is, 100 episodes.
Yeah, sex on Star Trek.
Carl, I rebuke thee. I cast thee asunder.
I was married to to his girlfriend.
I know. Yeah. I know.
So there was sex there.
Well, oh my! We're getting all sorts of information that I wasn't expecting.
Well, yeah, I didn't marry her to shake hands with. I mean, you can get a cold that way.
This is like an episode of Star Trek where someone has come on board the ship and has taken control of the Enterprise. And we can't stop him. But Carl has taken control of this podcast. My glorious 100th episode. What's that?
I named an episode about it.
Slipstream?
Yeah.
This is called Slipstream. This is the episode called Slipstream. I don't know why, but it's all about love.
Is there an episode that where there's the holodeck and there's a comedy club in the holodeck?
There is.
Oh, well, maybe that's where we are right now.
No, it's Next Generation with Joe Piscopo.
Oh,
Joe Piscopo does comedy with Brent Spiner.
Oh.
Ben Spiner.
All right, so let's circle this back
Well, my 14-year-old son, A Child Shall Lead Them, is actually circling back. So here's my question. I've done 100 of these.
Yeah.
Two and a half years. And initially it was to get over my midlife crisis, and now I think I'm over it, but now I think I'm heading towards like other crises.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I should be doing this anymore. I don't know what I should, if this is something I should be doing on a weekly basis. I've been doing like kind of a bi-weekly basis. So I want to round table this, and I don't know where Abed is. Abed has like become...
He's disappeared.
Like crystalline entity.
He energized and went to the bar.
Well, like the lady playing bridge when her husband went into the... John, you know, she said, at least it's the first time tonight and nobody's gotten his hand.
Wow, okay. So, my question to everyone here, to the assembled group, should I continue this? And the answer can be absolutely no. Like this could be, I always thought, well, maybe I'll go 79 episodes, which is what Star Trek did, the first original iteration to be done.
Yeah.
We could cap this off right now, right here. Pour concrete over it and be done.
Pour concrete over it.
And seal it up.
Have it sleep with the fishes.
For generations to come.
Oh, or, like a time capsule.
Or we could do other things. I was thinking about maybe doing like seasons or just like whenever I feel like it. Or doing it weekly. I don't know. So let's go around. Kiernan, what do you think?
I think that you should have a rest time that I can take over.
You want to take over too?
I would like to take over.
What would you do? What would you do?
I would get people on.
Would Carl be on?
Carl would be my co-host.
That I would be okay
with. Yeah, that would be amazing.
On the show.
I would occasionally have Dad on as a blast from the past.
Oh, blast from the past.
Jesus. Wow. Went from a compliment to an insult in like a span of half a second.
The deadly child, my God.
Oh, everybody shut up on that spec.
I think Carl has like integrated into our group perfectly.
Yeah. And what did I miss?
Oh, nothing.
Wow.
He's right here.
I use that time to do my phone stuff.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
All right, so Kieran thinks he should take over. We're talking.
I think that it's time for your...
Wait, you're going to pass the torch?
That's kind of cool. I just want to talk about Star Trek The Next Generation.
It could, very well. Yes. I could give this over to you, Kieran. Now, would you do it like on a weekly or bi-weekly basis?
A regular basis.
Bi-weekly basis. I would have friends over.
Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
That's
what
bi-weekly means.
I was just clarifying for the young lad.
I would have Jason over sometimes.
No, you're
for Abed. For Abed.
Yeah, no.
I kind of steal the show.
All right. So that's
Kieran's
solution. Jason, what do you think?
Well, I know there's a lot of factors here, and some of which we can discuss, some of which we can't, as to what the future of the podcast is. But I kind of want to know from you before I answer. You talked a little bit about the midlife crisis and everything. What's the experience been like over 100 episodes now? I don't mean in a positive, negative way, but what have you learned in 100 episodes?
Oh, that's interesting.
Now Jason's asking.
Well, I know.
Oh, he should be the host.
After 100 episodes, what have I learned? I'll have to come back to that.
Okay.
I'll have to come back because that is a giant question. Maybe I'll finish that off.
It's a good last question.
Yeah.
That's the last question. So thank you.
Sure.
For asking that.
But I think you should continue in some capacity. I don't think it necessarily has to be the same form if you don't want it to, or if you're fine with it, continue. Because this is something you've loved your entire life.
Yes.
It is basically a religion for you.
Oh.
It has been. I mean, it's been part of it when you're in your wedding.
Zootype.
And
this is true.
And your vows of your wedding.
This is true. Yes.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. We did for my wedding. We had the Star Trek fight between Kirk and Spock.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I actually lost.
Yes.
I didn't script that out very well. And then my friend Matt Stompy, he took the hand of my wife. So
yes.
And then we danced. So it was very weird. So.
So Tony Caselli, you're the fake husband, right?
I'm the fake husband, yeah.
A frequent guest.
You're not Kieran's father.
Yes.
Tony Caselli was also involved in the fight, too, right?
He was, yes. You were the...
Kieran, sorry.
But I think Star Trek matters so much to you that I think you have to have some sort of outlet into the world to express your love of Star Trek.
If he doesn't have this, I think he might go insane. Or just let all of his feelings out on...
me, which would be
he'd be still so doing it, but no one would be recording.
All my feelings.
But I also think, I don't want to answer the question for you that I was asking before, but and having Carl here and having some of the other guests that you've had on the program, it's really stepped up what Star Trek means for you, I think, because you've actually become connected to it in a certain way that you weren't before.
This is true.
Through the relationships you've and the people you've met and the stories you've got over the received over the duration of the podcast so far, it's become a different animal.
And we're in a crazy lake house by a golf course. Who knew?
Yep. This is true. We're in the yeah. So Abed, what do you think? You were there for the second episode.
Yeah.
And a few in between.
Right. And I listened pretty religiously for a while.
Oh, for a while.
And then it was all down.
And then I got distracted by my crazy life.
We have to bring religion into.
No, I know. Yeah. No, I was. No, I'm not religious. But I would say the idea of Kiernan hosting is very interesting to me. However, I do, like, because me and my brother are both fans of your show, so, because he's really into Star Trek as well.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to bring him here.
Oh, you should have.
Well, no, I mean, he's if you think I'm weird, he's 10 times more weird.
We need to meet him.
Yes,
I mean, but not, he doesn't talk. Know. He doesn't, he just, he's quiet. Yeah, he's very
even
shy.
Oh, better. Yeah, I mean, that's okay. The perfect audit. That's what
I want. That's what you want, yeah, yeah. Only when you talk to him does he respond.
10 times weirder.
No, but I
less talking.
Not only am I a fan, but I am someone who when I listen to the show, I got to tell you, what would be interesting is if you had guest hosts. So you could have Kiernan host, you could have McCarris host, you could have me host, you could have Kim host, you have our new friend host.
Kind of like, I mean? Kind of like the Tonight Show when Johnny would go on vacation.
That's what I mean. Like you could do maybe 10 guest host episodes, and then you come back as like, all right, I'm back,
interesting.
Everyone.
Interesting.
And then everyone's like, oh, McCafferty, we missed you. Like, there's like a re...
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
There you go.
For somebody
but, you know,
else.
My favorite episodes are... I love the one when you talked about your experience of seeing Wrath of Khan as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I have such a great connection to that movie when I grew up. So that was very touching and inspirational for me when I heard it. Also in the sense that I was like, well, I want to do a Criterion podcast. Because, like, that's my obsession.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very inspired that you just went for it, and then you created something that, like, you know, it became more of like out of love as opposed to everyone does a podcast to get attention.
Yes.
You know, so that I feel like that's a better sort of determination and goal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not being funny right now.
No, it's fine. No, this is not fine. We could stop the podcast forever right now. I mean, this is what is in the balance. It's the stakes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's kind of where I see this podcast going.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Carl.
Oh, thank you, Karen. Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
So, Carl, 52 years ago, you did this. You did Star Trek, and 2 years ago, this jackass shows up to you and has you talk about it. And with his midlife crisis, we talked about that. We talked about my midlife crisis. And so what do you think? Should I keep this going?
How old are you?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm 49, Carl. I'm 49.
How many 98-year-old people do you know? I mean, you're talking about midlife.
He's trying to tell you
Well, I know.
I mean, I know a couple. You know, I was
47 at the time, 46. So.
Well, to my mind, that becomes 94.
You're right, yeah.
So how many 94-year-olds, you know, most people my age are already dead, you know, so come on, you're 47. Well, no, here's the thing. I get a message out of Star Trek way down deep, and it's basically this. We have two choices. We're all on the spaceship called Earth. Why screw each other? Why don't we just help each other? We're all in this together. That's the message I get. And that's a message, for me, it's worth putting out there time and again as long as you're capable of doing it. However you get it to people, Roddenberry got it his way through to people. So I'm not saying be it this or that politically or what, but way down deep, this is, and I feel, especially at my age, because I got a whole different view, that this is what we got to do because we're, you know, everybody's struggling to breathe, to get on, you know, and like, why can't we just, you know, be friends?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow.
That's worthy of a clap.
So, but keep up that message, you see. That's what I was thinking.
Well, no,
as you feel capable of doing it, but, you know, don't exhaust yourself. If it becomes hard doing a podcast, you can do it in other ways in life.
That may be where I'm at right now, is that the message is, I love the message of Star Trek. I will never not love the message of Star Trek, but spreading it through podcast has become a little taxing, so I don't know if that's the medium still.
Maybe so. You'll just have to go treat you.
But look what he's saying. He's saying that what you're doing is reaching him in a way that, like, it should be going that way.
Okay.
So maybe podcasting is the route.
I mean, you get to more people that way. Here we are. We're laughing and scratching here, talking like human beings.
Yeah, and yeah. Success is kind of measured by other people. But success, it can also be measured by the fact that you have him here.
This is true. This
yes.
is true.
And that's quite an achievement.
God. Wow. I'm here because I'm alive.
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I have never been in the same room with anyone from the original series. So that is quite, I mean, for me, that's a big deal.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. I understand because, I was name dropping earlier. I know all the bloody names and been with famous people. You know, but they're all just people anyway.
Yeah. Right.
And it just happened to me, you know. And other people are impressed and, I was too, but in the end, I know that my wife, you had her, you saw her in that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Deadly Years. Let me just tell you about her.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, before I met her, you know, I heard her reputation, where she was born, England. She came here on the last boat from London before the World War II.
Yeah.
With her mother, and they had already been divorced from her father. She grew up in Beverly Hills, money all around, grew up with all the famous people and all the kids and everything. I thought, I don't want to talk to someone like, she's going to be a snob. Someone like that has to be. But then we got together because she wanted to run lines in the show. I was the understudy, so I ran lines. Bingo, something happened. She didn't care I was blue collar, first generation American. I took her out to the Sticks to meet my parents. They were in a little country house out in the woods, you know. She said it was charming. They're lovely people. Da, 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 da. She didn't care. She didn't want new cars. She didn't care about jewelry. She cared about furs, having the best seat at Sardi's. Da, 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 da. Well, the first car she bought in 1956 was a two-door Chevy station wagon without a radio. She said it didn't matter, you know, because she had a little boy. She wanted to take him to the country, and she didn't care about showing off. And she told, and I learned from her, because we were poor in the 30s and all that stuff. I thought money was a big thing. You know, like, worry about money. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about fame. You know, that's what she was. She was down to earth. And I'll tell you something. My memory of her, she was nominated for a Tony Award on Broadway.
Wow.
Both her parents have stars on the Boulevard. Right?
Yeah.
She's done wonderful shows on television, Star Trek and, you know, Hitchcock's and various other things, and blah, 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 blah. Knows this person, grew up with knows them all. One of my fondest memories of her, I got three. One, she's rescuing a pussycat to get taken off to the vet and get it cleaned up and find a home. The other, she's in a little garden that she's created and growing herbs, and she's in the dirt pulling weeds and clipping the things and so forth and saying hi to somebody. And the last one, one of the incredible things in front of our building, a garbage truck was automatically picking up the barrels and throwing it into the back, you know. She's walking down the sidewalk and she goes hi to the guy, and next thing I know she's talking to the guy and all this heaving of garbage, plastic garbage can stops. She's having a conversation with the driver. And it's 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, she's laughing. I see, they're gesturing and gesturing. And they're having a great time. And later she says goodbye, walks down the street, and the guy starts, next thing I see, big black garbage can going, dumping the back. That's my wife who was nominated for a Tony Award. She's talking to the guy who's driving the garbage truck. They have 5 minutes together having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
This is priceless. And to know that a woman like that loves me?
No.
Oh, my God. What a gift.
Yeah.
I think that's what a life is worth.
But that's where it is. You know, she talked to everybody like they were her people.
Yeah.
There was no corporate speak from her.
Yeah.
No chamber of commerce. intonations. What? No, like, all this crap that goes on. People right. lie and exploit each other and don't care about anybody else.
What's amazing is, like, you think about...
I was married to her. I can't believe it.
What's amazing is, like, you think about, like, maybe she would have liked the guy that had his own series.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Oh, sure.
Right, right.
Oh, that was
but,
okay.
But, right.
Oh, that didn't stand in the way.
It didn't stand in the way because no. it didn't matter because you were still yourself.
It was exactly.
And she loved you for you,
that's
not
it.
For who
you
were.
Yeah, which
like,
is what finally got through to me.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. amazing.
I mean, she was as happy with her knees in the dirt and doing the pull in the weeds as she was being on Broadway and being going like that, and she gets a great review. It all meant the same.
Kim Miller, you are my consul, you're my pro consul. You have been here the most. What do you think? What should I do, Kim?
Of course I'm going to say keep going. It doesn't have to be weekly. It can be bi-weekly. Doesn't have to have multiple goofy guests. I love when hearing you just talk by yourself. I like your deep dives a lot.
Okay.
I like when you just speak off the top of your mind and go bonkers. Hilarious. But with so much content coming up, supposedly... new series possible and more movies to come. Discovery will be back. I want to hear what you had to say about all that.
Kiernan's excited about Discovery coming back.
So I say.
You say yes. All right. Well, here it is, the 100th episode, and I will make my decision. I'll make my ruling later. But I have assembled this learned group here of varying eras, varying levels of.
Intelligence,
for sure, of verbosity.
Can you tell us the question we were asking before? What have you learned over 100 episodes?
He'll tag that on later.
Well, you've learned not to say between you and I.
What's that?
You've learned to say not between you and I.
Not between you and I.
Yeah, that's something you've learned.
Between you and I's, I think.
I'm so glad I didn't say that.
Not
to use. Keep putting the message out, however you do it. The message is, let's be nice to each other.
Star Trek has been my life, part of my life, since I've been a little kid, and somehow the message will continue. I don't know how that will be, but after 100 episodes, it will continue. I just don't know what form it will take, but I am grateful to be surrounded by friends, mostly male, but friends of different ages, of different levels, of different species, of different levels of wine. But I'm grateful to have you listening, and I'm grateful to have people that are my friends here.
I'm really a pussy cat.
And then, if I could continue on...
He's the best guest.
He is the best guest. He'll be the only guest. He's the last guest. Carl has
I've listened a lot, and he's number one.
I don't want to talk about Star Trek anymore. And with that, I'm Mike McCafferty.
Wait, I
oh, Kiernan.
Sorry.
Blowing the landing.
This had better be really good.
Okay, all right. The trial never ends.
Is that from an episode?
It's from The Next Generation.
I'm glad we waited for that.
All right. It's from the first episode. It's from the last episode, yes.
Oh, well, I was close.
You don't get it, Card. The trial never ends.
Why don't you
see you out there.
Wind that up one more time.
That was the cue word, right?
And with that, I'm Mike McCafferty.
Kiernan McCafferty.
I'm Jason McCarris.
I'm Abed Gates.
I'm Carl Hill.
And I'm Kim Miller.
And after 100 episodes, I still just want to talk about
Star Trek!
Star Trek!
Woohoo!
All right.
That was great.
That was great.
Law, imperfection.
Well, that was great. That was exactly the way we should end this because I wanted to talk about Star Trek, and I did.